This episode of the Pain Education Corner is sponsored by the Camella Foundation. The Camella Foundation is committed to relieving pain naturally using osteopathic healing principles. Here at the Camella Foundation, we envision a world where people achieve their maximum potential by being empowered with knowledge and skills to heal themselves and others. This information is to be used for educational purposes only, and not to be construed as medical advice. If you have any questions or concerns, please consult a licensed healthcare professional. Hello, it's Bill, the Knee Pain Guru, and welcome to the Pain Education Podcast, sponsored by the Camella Foundation. Today, we got a friend of mine. His name is Arsenie, and he's going to share with us a lot about his experience in different Russian healing approaches. I'm going to let Arsenie introduce himself because he's going to be able to share with you the extent of his knowledge and experience. Okay. Welcome, Arsenie.
Thank you. Thank you. So what I have been doing since I've been 12 years old, right, is martial arts of different forms, spiritual practices and health practices. Mm-hmm. So I've kind of tried to dive into everything. You know, I'm very open-minded, and I've tried to experience with the Western, with the Eastern medicine and the fitness approaches, and just try to kind of integrate everything, everything into one, right? And make sense of it all, you know, and find what's, because we don't have that much time, right? So I went to the bottom of the health, of the fitness, of this spirituality and stuff like this. So and culmination of that, I guess, is what I do right now, right? Is Pravila. I do breath work. We do a lot of massage, we do sauna, we do cold therapy, we do martial arts. A lot of people come with psychological things. A lot of people come with health, with physical ailments. And of course we do a couple, you know, some martial arts classes, but actually the bulk of my training has been and focused on health practices.
And Arsenie, would you go into a little bit, talk about the Pravila, your introduction to it, your experience with it. I will make sure somewhere over here when the video is created that we're going to have maybe a picture of it or a short video clip so people could get a reference of what we're talking about.
Yeah. So Pravila, you know, it's, if you think of the three components, for example, you need strength, you need stretching, and you need relaxation, right? So how do I combine all those things in a short amount of time?
Okay.
That's, you know, very plainly speaking from a physical perspective, right? Pravila is an ancient Russian concept of stretching, decompressing, strengthening the psyche and the physical body. There's many different levels to it, like everything else, right? Like anything, there's the basics, there's the intermediate, there's the advanced, and it all depends on what a person wants to focus on. You can take it just as a physical practice. You can take it beyond and have like some psychological revelations and, you know, spiritual things as well.
Can you share a little bit about the history of it?
The history is, so back in the day, there needed to be a method that a person can get ready in a very short amount of time for peak physical performance. And when something like that happens, for example, war we're talking about, right? Mm-hmm. How to heal yourself. And back in the day, if you think of how life in Russia was, right? For example, in a Russian village, it wasn't like they didn't have like big armies and stuff like this. People didn't have time to train. People needed to work in the field, you know, like things like that. It was a completely different lifestyle. So, for example, at the same time, you needed to be able to defend your small little village. Right, there had to be some kind of a protective unit, or you know. So, for example, when invasions happened and stuff like this, they used to hang warriors on the pravila overnight, like before the battle. Like you knew the Wow. battle tomorrow, you would Uh-huh. fast for like a couple of days, and then you would hang overnight, all night.
Wow. Yeah.
You go, it's a trip. You go through different stages, right? Like you forget, you know, the physical pain, like this. But obviously we're not using it like that right now. No, it's again for a different purpose, you know, like.
And let me interrupt you just for a second, because this is going to be on audio as well. So for those that aren't seeing the picture on the video, that think of yourself being suspended by all four limbs, hanging on a machine that is about 8 by 10, 10 by 10, about 6 foot off the ground.
Yes.
And you're suspended by your wrists and your ankles.
Yes.
With weights. So, okay, continue.
Well, right. So look, there's different angles, right? And there's no angle that, for example, is like, the secret angle or like the best angle. The body should be stretched and strengthened in every single angle in every direction. Mm-hmm. It can be done with weights. It can be done with a winch. It can be done with ropes. It can be done from the ceiling. It's just a concept of decompression, engaging the body and strengthening the body, mm-hmm. and the joint and connective tissue. With the breath, of course, with the relaxation principles, of course. Right?
Mm-hmm. How do you approach when someone is in pain, they have joint pain? How do you approach using the Pravilo in that equation?
Honestly, it's all individual. You know, there's no, standard way that you would approach every single person, because mm-hmm. but like anything, you first ask the person's life habits, right? Mm-hmm. Honestly, the first thing you ask is, how do you eat? What do you eat? Do you sleep good? No, like, you know, you would think that those things, but it's, you know, you can be doing the whole best exercises in the world, right? If you don't eat right, if you don't sleep good, if you're stressing out, if you don't know how to breathe, it doesn't matter, right? Like, everything, it's like a Pravila. What Pravila helps you do is realign and the energies, right? Because mm-hmm. blockages in the body, you don't have to do anything. It's not like anything supernatural. It's just mm-hmm. like we as humans, we have different blockages, different corrosion, muscular tension, physical tension. That helps you stretch and release all of that. Mm-hmm. And when you stretch and release all of that, you start by and by, you start moving differently. You start breathing differently. You start being more calm. You know, you feel energy instead of fatigue, you know, those things. And those things truly change your life. Mm-hmm. You know, if somebody's overweight and they're complaining about joint issues, Pravila is not going to help with that. Mm-hmm. Right. I don't stretch people like that. I kill you over here with fitness stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, you need to lose 150 pounds, right? Like, or if somebody has plates and screws, you know, due to surgery and stuff like this, it also has to be approached very differently, right? It would be more like a rehab approach. I would strap the ankle in and put low weight, maybe 10, 25 pounds, and make them, you know, like in rehab style, move the leg each way, move the elbows, you know, not necessarily that you hang the person as much as they can and they're like stretched out and suffering. So it's like, it's very individual. It's very individual. Vice or like, you know, I have athletes that are, you know, jiu-jitsu guys, fighters that are getting ready for a competition. Well, that session is going to be totally different, right? They're getting yelled at and screamed at and push, you know, so it all depends what the person is looking for. But in terms of pain, I would say range of motion and engaging the body, just like in rehab type settings, right? Moving the joints in various directions with breath, making many reps, lightweight, right? Be able to engage the joint to move it around. That promotes blood flow, that promotes healing, you know?
How do you view pain? There's a lot of different ways to view pain. There's a lot of ways to describe pain. Some people would say pain is good. Some people would say pain is bad. Some people would say pain is both. What is your perception of it? And I know we've trained in a similar martial arts. So there's transcendence of that pain through breathing and how we can get more in touch with our body. For someone who's been in pain for a period of time, either it be acute or chronic, how are you helping them to understand what this pain is?
You know, people take pain personally. And that's, I view that as the number one problem. Not the pain is not the problem. It's how you interpret pain.
That's really good.
To find a person that doesn't have any psychological or physical pain is impossible. It is an innate part of life, right? And whether it's some injury, whether it's, like I said, like whether something happened to somebody, we all go through things. We all have injuries. It's impossible to find somebody that doesn't have any pain, right? It's how you deal with it, how much attachment you give to it, you know, how much you dwell upon it, right? Some people buckle down in front of that pain, and some people rise because of the same situation and the same pain. Even with spinal surgeries, even like with anything, with everything, right? So it's actually more, I think, like a somebody's interpretation and psychological state and view on life.
Thanks for tuning in to today's episode of the Pain Education Corner. If you have a special talent or skill to relieve pain and you'd like to become a guest on our show, visit us at thecamellafoundation.org/interview. Help us spread the word on eliminating pain and suffering in the world. That's thecamellafoundation.org/interview. How do you help someone get unstuck from that psychological view on life? Like how could you jar somebody that I work with people in pain as well. And they tend to have that helpless, hopeless, there isn't anything I can do. I'm stuck. It's always going to be this way. This is just what happens because I'm getting older. What is your approach to move someone from that place of being stuck to giving them that light at the end of the tunnel, that hope?
It's very hard. It's very hard. It's a very hard thing, you know? And truthfully, if the person doesn't want it, there's nothing that you can do. You can be the best teacher, the best guru in the world. If the person doesn't want it, it's impossible. It's just, at the same time, you don't have to be the greatest. And if the person has the desire, has the motivation, They need just a little nudge, right, to become better. They just, they'll watch a YouTube video and that's going to help them. You know, they don't need, right? Like it's, so how to awaken a person, right? Because especially, you know, recently within this year, a lot of people are dealing with psychological things, a lot of problems, you know, various things. And how to wake people up, how to help people, like to motivate people, right? Like that is a very hard thing. What I tend to do is to make them breathe. They have to just, they're very sedated, right? People are very, very like sedated, or the athletes are, you know, if it's an athlete, it's on the opposite scale. They're very hyper, right? So if it's like a hyper person, you try to relax them, you know, try to calm them down. But if it's a person that's like a depressed person, you have to wake them up somehow, right? You have to make them do exercise. You have to make them push and overcome. And through simple stuff like that, and conversation, but conversation, you know, like it doesn't reach as deep as like giving a person a knack and an ability to kind of like do something by themselves, right? They have to know you're there for them and that you love them, but you have to push them.
Right.
The love and hate relationship.
Right.
Because you have to push, because you're trying to help somebody out of their comfort zone. Right. So it's not going to be comfortable. It's not going to be convenient. So a person has to understand that they're going to experience pain if they want to overcome something and be better. Pain is a growth process. It's a life process. Right. So it's not like a negative. Right. If you don't want pain, just go do drugs your whole life and, you know, be like, just lay there and in a saran wrap and like never do anything. You never meet anybody. Right.
Right.
Even if you meet somebody, even if you love somebody, there's going to be pain associated with that relationship, with any relationship, because loss is inevitable. Right. Even like on a psychological standpoint. So kind of, and that goes to like Buddhist philosophy, right? In Buddhism, the, you know, they say the very first principle is life is suffering. That's the very first thing you have to understand, that life is suffering innately, because we're going to die, right? And if we're not going to die, we're going to see other people close to us die. It's inevitable, right? And that's going to cause suffering. Even if you're the best person in the world, right? But everyone experiences loss. Everyone experiences psychological and physical trauma. To wake people up and to help them kind of rediscover that fire, they need tension, they need strength, and they need relaxation, like I said, right? So I put them through psychological and physical tension. I make them do exercises that are physically and psychologically challenging. You know, person, I can't do it. You have to do it, you know, then you give them an opportunity to start strengthening themselves and feeling like, wow, I have some strength, you know, I overcame something, and then a period of relaxation, right? It can be in either exercises. It can be in pravila. But pravila, like I said, it's a part of this whole thing, right? It's not like this magic thing. Like it's like a must, like sauna. You have to sauna, you have to detox, you have to go outside and get cold water. It's like those things are like essential, right? So it's a part of a complex.
And how do you make that distinction between good pain and bad pain?
Bad pain is acute, right? If something hurts, like physically, for example, right? If something hurts in an acute way, like sharp, like pains and needles, right? Or if something is super swollen, right? Those are situations where, you know, you shouldn't exercise, right? You should get the swelling down. You should rest recovery, right? The other kind of a pain is nagging pain. Like, for example, I have both of my knees have torn ligaments in. Mm-hmm. They hurt a lot all the time, right? But at the same time, if you don't stress them properly, if you don't engage them properly, they're just going to deteriorate. Mm-hmm. Right? So you can just like not do anything and take ibuprofen or whatever people take, Advil or Tylenol, right, or whatever. Or you can every day, like brushing your teeth, it has to become every day. You give your own, you know, 10 minutes in the morning, 10 minutes in the evening, and do some exercises for yourself to kickstart yourself, to relax yourself. Good pain, like I said, like good pain should motivate you, you know. Truthfully, good pain should motivate you, and bad pain is a pain where you take it and you get like depressed about it. Mm-hmm. You know.
And you had mentioned properly working the joint. I see a lot of people more towards the athlete side of things where they constantly push. They're constantly pushing through the pain. No pain, no gain. Pain is weakness leaving the body. They have that mentality of that drive, that push. But it almost seems like it's self-abusive. Yes. There isn't a health component to it. How do you make the distinction between the exercise that you're doing that's actually the pain that you're working with, for instance, with your knees, the torn ligaments in your knees? How do you know that what you're doing is actually helping your knees as opposed to like that real type A personality of just driving forward and pushing through it?
Well, that's easy. Next day, do you feel better or do you feel worse after whatever you did?
Whatever, you would like, think
it's something you would think. You would think,
you would think.
It's simple, but it's
yeah. Yeah. And this is where I think the psychological component comes in, because there's a blind spot for people with pain that think that is the only way, the pushing through the pain to drive. And even if it hurts the next day, that means I did a good thing. And I mean, I realize that I'm getting from you that you realize that that's not necessarily the way to go. However, how do you get through to someone that it's like, are you paying attention here? Are you connecting the dots on this?
Okay.
That they did this.
It's fine.
You did this. And this isn't a good thing the next day.
So it's, you know, it has to be a whole education in like everything, right? True health physically, right? You shouldn't even feel, you should not feel burdened by your body. Mm. You shouldn't feel like you're moving this heavy thing or you have things, right? Your body should be floating and light. And the problem is 99.9% of the population has never experienced that. It's like not normal, right? Mm-hmm. Right. What everyone has experienced is tension, but nobody has experienced true relaxation and lightness. Mm-hmm. Consciously, you can take drugs, probably, you know, have like third what do you call it, outer body experience, but consciously through in their daily life they experience this fatigue and this drag on with their body, you know, the body. It's not like a beautiful flowing mechanism that works and functions properly, and you barely feel it. You should feel very light. You know, it's called a light body in Qigong and stuff like this. And when we're psychosomatic. So if you feel drag, if you feel pain, physical pain, of course, it's constantly going to give you pressure and tension on your psyche. It's going to be very hard to not think about, man, my back hurts all the time, right? Like, doesn't matter how much breath work I do. Doesn't matter, like, my back hurts. You know, it's going to be very hard to relax. Or my knees or anything, you know. But at the same time, it's much easier and more scientific. Like in yoga, they did you start with asanas, you start with posture,
mm-hmm.
right? You start with posture. You have to put the physical body in tune. Then you start with breath work.
Mm-hmm.
Now, breathing is there in the postures, but a person whose body is like brittle and frail, I always say, you know, a weak person can never be free.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be strong, you know? But to your question, you know, with athletes, no sport gives you health, no athletic sport. It's the opposite.
Mm.
But that's, forget an athlete who's seeking health at that stage, right? You're seeking performance and maintenance. Whatever you're doing is wrong.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If you want health, stop playing sports.
Right.
And focus on health, you know?
Right. Yeah. Well, most of them, the mentality is, what do I need to do to get back in the game?
Yes. Well, it's performance. Like I said, it's a performance and driven in that specific thing at any cost.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So even the amount of damage that isn't sustained on what they notice, which is joints, muscles, you know, things that happen, but what that does to the heart, what that does to cardiovascular system, what that does to the nervous system, that kind of, you know, constant goal, constant tension, it's destructive. It's life destructive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Were you in judo? Did I remember that correctly?
You know, I've done judo, jiu-jitsu, like I've done all kinds of martial arts. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That one I had a hard time letting go of. My ego had a hard time letting go of judo. Well, once I really did, it was much healthier.
Yeah.
Not getting hit continually with the floor makes a big difference in terms of how the body can feel. And although I had, there was a high, there was a euphoria when I throw somebody or whatever that situation was. It, after, you know, that constant pain that the body was in just from falling all the time, it suddenly feeling good,
yeah,
suddenly became more of a priority. Feeling that movement that you were, you know, you've been talking about. And just for everybody that's listening, I started getting involved in the Pravila about a year and a half ago. I reached out to Arsini. We got some videos, friends of mine got videos, and we put together one here in Asheville, North Carolina. And it's been absolutely amazing. I've been using it probably not as holistically as Arsini is sharing, but it's been amazing. I immediately went to seeing how I can fully suspend myself from it and stretch out every nook and cranny of my shoulders and hip sockets, which has been great. And it's allowed me to jar some things loose that I was able to work on myself in other aspects, way, shapes, or forms in my body. So I could personally attest to how well the machine works, or the concept of it works. And there were old injuries that I experienced, shoulder dislocation from when I was very young, and other injuries in my back that it's like, I didn't even know I had them. Yeah. Until you get on the machine and you're being stretched in a way that there's no place to hide.
Yes.
There's no place for that injury to hide. And it is very revealing. And it's revealing not only physically, it's also mentally and emotionally as well. Because you come off the machine and you feel like you're 10 feet tall.
Yes.
Really tall. However, with all of that stuff stretched out, the physical body stretched out, the way we hold ourselves, there's a lot of mental and emotional constructs we have. That was the follow-on from the machine over several days that I was like, huh, I'm kind of pissed off today.
Yeah.
And it came out of nowhere.
Yeah.
or feeling depressed or whatever it was. It was just interesting, the process of going through that, how that felt with the machine.
Yeah. You know, when you start meditating, usually you start meditating and then you come to your teacher and you say, how come I'm more upset and more stressed out? You're not. You just are aware.
Aware.
Right. Yeah. So, you know, even with Pravila, you just start becoming aware of your body differently, aware of your inner workings differently.
Mm-hmm.
So, if you start truly stretching, truly working, right, doing the sauna, doing everything, that's, I have people quit cigarettes. I have people quit antidepressants they've been on for 12 years. You know, like there's been very, very amazing stuff with it, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, one of the pieces that in working with my own clients is that they're at this level of pain when we first start working, and then the pain increases for a period of time, and they're like, ah, oh, what you were just saying about the meditation. That it's not that the pain has increased in their body. They're just more aware of the level of pain that they have.
Right.
So I completely agree with what you're saying, how people, it can be very challenging at first when we first begin to that journey down the path to knowing ourselves more. Like what is our physical body really capable of? What is our mind capable of? How emotionally can we handle that and balance between the two?
Yeah. Yeah. It's just one of the most important things is just every person needs to understand why they're there, right? Mm-hmm. When a person coming for a session, they have to have a good reason to be there, you know, mm-hmm. because people driving 1.5 hours to be here, one way, it's, you have to have a good reason to be here. You know, you have to be very invested and be very serious, you know. You can't take it lightly.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, it's a waste of time. And like anything else, you know, you have to take something serious in order for it to truly blossom, to truly work, and you have to work at it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can't just like go to somebody and say, here, Mr. do things to me. Or like, right, like, or a massage guy or like a fitness guy or anybody, you have to put in the work, you have to show up, you have to suffer, you have to sweat,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I think that's honestly the most number one, you know, like showing up, person has to show up and do it.
And when I hear you say showing up, it's more than just walking through the door.
If you walk through the door and you're checked out, like, you know, psychologically, you're just there. It's like some teenager stuff, you know, like, no, that they can't be, you know, they get slapped with reality real quick here. Mm-hmm. You can't, you know, the training is designed as such. You wake up real fast. And if, mm-hmm. even if the person, but at the same time, I rather a person who isn't psychologically all the way there, at least they showed up. Get it?
Mm-hmm.
At least they showed up, because another person didn't even show up.
Right.
So even if they're not logically there, that person still got their bum over there, right, and is still ready for work, even if they're not perfectly in a psychological state to perform. Mm-hmm. That's your job as an instructor to help them with that.
Yeah, that's so interesting. I think it goes down that the person needs to want to do it. They got to take the steps to want to improve their life. They want to believe that there is a way out of pain, and you're going to help them. You're going to move them in that direction to the best of your ability, drawing on your knowledge and your years of experience.
Right. Right. You know, you have to give people even little bits of hopes, you know, because a person has never felt free of pain, right? Like if you've been in pain for so long, you don't even understand what life is, if it's even possible. You're like, that's not possible, right?
Mm.
So even you have to give people with each session just a little glimpse of hope. Something is like a little bit, you know, it doesn't have to be anything grand, but they have to feel. And that's what I'm saying. That's the difference between health practices and sport, right? Any sport, you leave and you get banged up more. But if when you do health practices, you should feel better after a session, right? Like today, you should feel better. You might be sore for sure. You should feel sore. That's what you said, the difference between good pain and bad pain.
Yeah.
Sore muscles, like pain, is good. Like, you know, that means you did some good squats.
Yeah, I find encouragement is really important. The more that I've incorporated encouragement, that they can do it, they can accomplish these things, they can work in this direction. I think that's very helpful. Another thing I tell my clients is, you know, sometimes you need me to be a cheerleader. Sometimes you need me to be a drill sergeant.
Yeah.
And it's a fine line to understand, to kind of get a sense for who I'm working with at what needs to happen. What has been your experience?
The approach to different people is like you said, it's very, like I said, it's very individual, right? It's very individual and based on people's needs and wants. We want to push people comfortably. We want people to come back to keep working. And like you said, that encouragement, right? Like, and I feel like also like a community. So what I've been trying to create over here is the community sense of positivity, right? Like kinds of people, and everybody's nice. You know, it's very supportive, you know, and that is huge for people. Not everybody has a good support team, like, you know, and sometimes it's good to get away from family and just guys be guys, you know, have the guy time. And it's good for girls to have their girl classes. You know what I mean? All those things is, they're healthy and they're necessary. And that not many people have.
Right. Yeah. That community, I think that's important. But I think a community in a way that isn't, what my experience has been is the community has been more of a beat down. that there isn't this building the people up. And I think that's one of what I've really appreciated and got out of Sistema, was that concept that everybody has this egg inside, that analogy that they use, there's an egg inside and you just want to crack it so something more beautiful grows out of that. The person grows stronger, that you don't want to break the person and crush the egg, so to speak, where they don't have any desire to come back, that they're getting stronger even a little bit psychologically, physically, emotionally, whatever that is, each time.
Yeah. And that's the art that an instructor has to learn how to do that. Mm-hmm. You know, people come to us for that, right? So, which is truly, it's one of the hardest things in the world, honestly. It's easier to do something else. Mm-hmm. This is one of the hardest things to be one of the greatest wrestlers. He said, one of the most ungratifying thing in the world is to be an instructor. You put so much time, so much thought, so much energy into a person, you know, and you sometimes you see the flower blossoms, sometimes you don't. Mm-hmm. Right. In construction, for example, I know I put a day of work and I can physically see the result.
Mm-hmm.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
And sometimes, you know, you're putting so much time into somebody, then they move, then they or something else, so you don't necessarily, you didn't truly, you know, right? Like it takes years, right? Like with anything, it takes time, you know. And that's another thing. Even with Pravila, right? From the very first stretch, you're going to feel tension. You're going to feel good. You're going to feel bad. But even the first time, even after a month, it's not going to be the same as it's going to be after 3.5 years, right? 10 years, for example, right? With consistent training, it's going to be you're going to have a totally different feeling and understanding of the exercise. you know, or even a basic push-up, right? So it's consistency, and the people have to understand it's a lifelong commitment. I say to people, it's like brushing your teeth. You brush your teeth every day, right? You eat every day. You should do something good for your physical body every single day.
Mm-hmm.
Every day. And the saying is, if you don't sweat the day, you haven't lived the day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have to stress your body. You have to make the body like breathe, live, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, that's really good. Arsenie, do you coaching, or do you work with clients online?
Online, I do, but I don't do it as much as I should be. You know, I have like, people have been asking me, especially through this pandemic, you know, to do it more, mm-hmm. you know, and I probably should get into it more, because people are all over the place and you can't obviously reach everybody physically, you know?
Sure.
So it's,
Sure. And if somebody watching this or listening to this wanted to reach out to you, what is the best way they can contact you?
They can, you know, we have pravilausa.com. Or fightandheal.com.
Okay. So, we'll put all of that in the show notes.
You can put all that.
I'll take care of it.
As you see, this stuff is the hard stuff for me. Stuff.
Yeah, the tech support. That's what's so great about this community. I mean, you and a lot of the other people that I have, healers. I mean, these people really know how to help people. Technology is not their area of expertise, and it's important to understand.
You can't be good at everything, you know.
And it's important to understand, you don't want them good at technology.
Yes.
So, but let's see. And are we going to be able to get a video out of you? You must have something on your YouTube channel we can grab and put as a bonus. Video yeah. down below here.
Yeah.
A breathing or movement, rolling, something that.
Yeah, maybe you can check out. You know, I have a YouTube channel, and there's a couple of different videos, like with Pravila, and like you can see how other people stretch and.
Sure.
Yeah.
Cool. That would be great. Arsenie, is there anything in our conversation today that is kind of sticking out in your mind that I didn't cover? You'd like to tie up before we wrap up the call?
Well, no. I think we covered the pain, right, and the specifications of how kind of like how to. We didn't really talk about anything specific, right? Today was just like a generic, I guess, conversation, right?
Sure.
So yeah, if there's anything that you wanted me to expand on, right, or focus on,
mm-hmm.
we can do like either another session or.
Yeah, maybe if we had specific areas of the body, if there were some questions that came in, people wanted to specifically right. look at the shoulder or the right. knees or the lower back or something like that, we could dig in a future podcast where we can pick your brain, ask yes. all sorts of questions on specific instances with those. But I think what I really appreciated about our interview today was around your philosophy, that it really makes, when people are suffering in pain, it's almost like all up in their face, and you're broadening that perspective to see it's so much larger. Like who we are as people is so much larger, and we put that pain in perspective. I think that's super valuable. It even helped me. I was, as how you were talking about all the different elements and aspects that you're bringing to the table and helping someone, it almost seemed like oh yeah, pain isn't really that significant.
Well, so. It's just part of life. Mm-hmm. It's just part of life, and then you can't take it personally. You know, any you can't take it personally, and you have to just try to do your best. There's not that much more than you can do. Mm-hmm. You know, you can't give up, right?
Well, you could. It's just no fun.
You could, but that's not the people that we're talking to, you know?
Sure, right. Yeah, I get it.
Yeah.
I get it. Well, Arseny, I want to thank you so much for being here. I want to thank you for working through all of the technical challenges to be here, which was awesome. So, and I'm looking forward to see what we get as far as questions and then having you on a future podcast. I think that would be great.
Definitely. Thank you so much for having me.
Okay. Thank you, Arseny. This is thanking Arseny for being here. This is Bill Paravano, the Knee Pain Guru, for the Pain Education Podcast on behalf of the Camella Foundation. Thank you so much for being here, and we will see you on the next one. To learn more about the work we do at the Camella Foundation, please visit our website at the Camella, C-O-M-E-L-L-A, foundation.org. Join us next week for another conversation on natural healing methods to eliminate pain.